Our service today is titled Always in a Hurry, the sermon, and we welcome you into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren today, into God's house, and we're thankful that you're with us on the other side of the camera as well. And our scripture lesson today comes from Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. And since it is October 31st, I've selected the one today that ought to be fitting with it. It seems that a young boy was wandering along when he heard about two old fellas on the other side of a cemetery sorting chestnuts. Now you see, this cemetery had a great big old chestnut tree, great big wide thing. And it was that time of the year when the chestnuts came down, and these fellas knew about it, so they went into the cemetery and they got themselves some buckets and they started gathering them all up. And they sat down on the other side of the tree and started sorting them. And this boy on a bicycle happened to stop for a moment. And he heard them on the other side. One for you, one for me. One for you, one for me. And he got so spooked at it, he took off to town. And he come by, the first person he did was an old man that walked on a cane, you know, like this. And he got to the old man, he said, "Hey, look! The devil and the Lord are in the cemetery out there at the edge of town sorting out souls today." And the boy, the old man said, "Boy, you better leave me alone." He said, "I'm serious. You got to come hear this. I heard them doing it. The Lord and the devil are sorting out souls." Finally, the boy just got on his nerves so much, the old man said, "Well, come on." And they get out there and they eased up on the backside of that cemetery behind that chestnut tree and they heard them. They said, "One for you, one for me. One for you, one for me." And the old man whispered at the boy. He goes, "By golly, you're right. That is the Lord and the devil sorting souls." And they kept listening. About that time, they heard one of them men on the other side of the tree go, "All right, that's it. Let's go grab them two nuts out the other side of the tree by the fence and we'll be done." They said the old man passed the boy on the bicycle headed back to town. Always in a hurry. Matthew 6, verse 25 through 34. Jesus speaking. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." May God add his passages and his blessings to this sermon as we come before him in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We are blessed to be here today. We thank you for these words. We ask, Father, that they be strengthening, that they make sense, that they lead us on. We ask that they give us what we need for the week to come to face what the world will have waiting for us, knowing that we are only here but for a short time. Let us hear them, Father. Let us be strengthened. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. And I held back for a moment because I wanted to make sure that she heard. Before we get started going, some of you that know that this video reaches people. And when I get a note from someone who's on that side of the camera, I want to make sure that they know that we're praying for them. And Beatrice Cameron, Mom C, who is up in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, was in a minor accident. Mom C, the church is praying for you. We're lifting you up. We know that where you're at is a good place. You're getting the rehab you need. And so we're praying for you. Thank you. Now, let's start, shall we? Let me put on my glasses, because I want to make sure I get the right effect of this. And I've got to get a handkerchief so that I can do this right. Because I've got to get this right, or otherwise people will write in or call me and say, Paul, you just didn't do this right. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung with. Why y'all staring at me like that? It is October 31st, is it not? Isn't it time to start preparing for Christmas? Now, leave me alone. The stockings were all hung by the chimney with care. I see you're still looking at me. Isn't that what time of year it is? I just happened to see that stores are starting to line their shelves with Christmas stuff on October the 31st. Because we're always in a hurry. We ain't even had Thanksgiving yet. And quite frankly, I'm telling you, I've got people already telling me, oh, I'm in such a tizzy because I've got to get my Christmas lights up. And I'm so excited because I've got to go and get my Christmas decorations out and go through them and make sure that everything's ready. Because Christmas is coming. Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. Stop it. Stop it. Why are you in such a hurry? We haven't even got through the changing of the leaves. We haven't even got through all of the nasty pumpkin spice, this and that. You know, well, let's see. Got to have my pumpkin spice latte and my pumpkin biscuit and my pumpkin this and pumpkin that. And I'm telling you, I thought I saw the other day, but I can't find it, to verify that there is a new pumpkin spice cologne for men and pumpkin shaving cream. Oh my golly! And that is where I'm starting from. I mean, it's time to start preparing for holidays that are 2 months away. Why are we in such a hurry? That's all I hear about. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. And I think to myself, and I'm just as bad about it as anybody else. We're always in a hurry. According to a Greek legend, in ancient Athens, a man noticed that the great storyteller, Aesop, was playing childish games with some little boys. He laughed and jeered at Aesop, asking him why he wasted his time with such frivolous activity. Aesop responded by picking up a bow, loosening its string, and then placing it on the ground. Then he said to the crucial Athenian, "Now answer the riddle, if you can, tell me what the unstrung bow implies." The man looked at it for several moments, but he had no idea what Aesop was trying to make. And Aesop explained to him, "If you always keep a bow bent, it will break eventually. But if you let it go slack, it will be fit for use when you want it." The writer goes on, people are like that. That's why we all need to take time to rest. In today's scripture, Jesus prescribed time off for his wearied disciples after he had returned from a prolonged period of ministry. And in the Old Testament, God set a pattern for us when he said, rested from all his work in Genesis. Shouldn't we take his example seriously? Set aside special time to relax physically and renew yourself emotionally, renew yourself spiritually. You will be at your best for the Lord if you have taken the time to unstring the bow. We are always in a hurry, aren't we? Say amen. Amen. And I have a prop. It is often that I wish I had a prop for every sermon, and I don't. But today, in this rag right here, I hold the greatest vehicle of death to men that has ever been known. As a matter of fact, because it's story time, I'm going to pull out my stool. And it's time for Uncle Paul's Aesop fable. And I'm making sure I'm sitting where the camera can see me. Am I okay on the camera? In this rag, ladies and gentlemen, inside of here, I hold the single deadliest instrument to men. Not just, not women, to men. Inside of this rag is an instrument that if you are stupid with it, it will remind you. It will end your life. As long as I don't drop it trying to unwrap it. It is, are you ready? Everybody's watching. I got the rag up. It is the single blade razor. Man, you know what that is, don't you? I shaved with this very razor. Matter of fact, I shaved with it this morning. This is a 1952, I think it's made by the Hearst Company. Anyhow, it's got the door that opens up so that you can put in one super sharp surgical single edge razor. You put her down there in the door, you shut her down, you make sure the door's tight. And this is the fancy model because it's got adjustments on it as to how much blood you want to draw out of your face. Now you might ask, why in this age do you, Paul Leatherman, shave with this instrument of torture and death? Well, I'll tell you why. Because this thing shaves. Once you learn how to use one of these, all these newfangled, multi-edge, lubricated, laser-focused, guided, all these different kinds of fancy schmancy razors, they can't do what this razor can do. This thing can lay it off. It can make me so smooth that the women just take one look at me and go, yeah, he's married. I'm saying that because I know she'll be watching later. But this is also a teaching tool. This thing is dangerous. It uses a single razor blade. And if you get in a hurry using this thing, it will remind you. Slow down. How does it remind you? Well, it's simple. When you make that swipe, if you haven't been real careful and laid that thing in at right angles and made it just close to the skin so, and you move it this way or you get in a hurry shaving, you will be shown the error of your ways by the little trickles. And if that ain't bad enough for you, if you don't shave with this thing the right way, when you put on the aftershave, you'll know it. I think this is why the men in an earlier generation had faces made of leather. Because this thing just took the skin off and toughened them up. But yet, when I take my time, when I shave with this thing, now, let's be clear, I hate shaving. I don't like doing it. If it was up to me, I'd have me one of them ZZ Top beards. Clean down here, look like the old brethren. I would never use this thing. But it's not up to me. And I shave once a week, twice if we're going somewhere, but I shave once a week with this thing every Sunday morning so I can look all clean and pretty and smooth. And it reminds me that being in a hurry never turns out well. Never turns out well. And that's the problem that we have now in this world. Pretty near everybody in this room, and I'll bet you everybody does, has one of them their cell phones now, right? And you got a smartphone, most likely, where when you want to know something, tap, 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 and you know it. Me and Buck was riding to work to church this morning, and we was talking about what defines finger food. What is a finger food? And we couldn't figure it out. I thought, donuts, isn't that a finger food? No, donuts are not a finger food. Different things are considered finger foods for me. And the definition is something that you can eat that doesn't make a mess. Well, here's the get. We were able to look and find that out in seconds. And it has prompted us to be in such a hurry and begin to worry when things aren't happening the way they're supposed to be happening. How many people in this room have ever worried? Good, put your hand up. I'm watching. Because if I don't see all of them come up, I am telling you right now, you are lying to your pastor. And you guys on the other side of that camera, I already know you got your hands up. We worry about things. And sometimes it is the dumbest things. We worry about stuff that has no bearing, no meaning, no weight whatsoever. And I know that I've used this scripture before, and a lot of people look at this scripture as worry, but today we're going to look at it as a reminder to not be in a hurry. Jesus Christ is speaking to a world 2,000 years ago that did not have the following. You ready? They did not have electricity. They did not have natural gas in their homes. Some of them didn't have chairs. They still sat on the floor around a table. If you remember that movie, The Passion of the Christ, when Jesus, as a young man in the carpenter shop, makes a chair and shows it to his mom and sits down on the chair, and she says, "Oh, you are silly. That'll never take off." He's talking to a group of individuals that have almost zero modern conveniences. And yet we take one look at that 2,000 plus years later, and Jesus was talking to us. I'm sorry, Jesus is talking to us. We go back into this for just a moment. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Do not be in a hurry. What you will eat, what you will drink, about your body, what you will wear, is life not more important than food? If you're so worried about these things that it is taking away your health and your well-being, what have you done? That is what he is saying. Look at the birds of the air. Let me ask you a question. How many people have ever seen a bird building a 2-story house, 4 bedrooms, 3 baths up in one of them trees? You ever seen that being done? Not even Woody Woodpecker did that. He says they don't do it. They don't sow, they don't reap. They go out and they take care, other than building a nest for their family. And he feeds them. And yet we are in dominion over them. We cannot add 1 hour extra to our life by being in a hurry, by being in worry, by being at 100 miles an hour all the time. And why do you worry about your clothes? I love this. I was talking to a friend of mine this morning. A good friend of mine lives down in Virginia. And he sent me a picture of what him and his girlfriend were doing this morning. They were sitting up on a mountainside watching the sun rise because they just thought it was just a beautiful morning for it. Jesus says, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor and spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. My wife has zinnias. Zinnias? I guess that's what they are. She has zinnias growing. And they are going crazy. They're growing out in the middle of the pathway. They're growing here. They're growing big and purple and pretty. And we walk by them and we're amazed all the time at just how beautiful they are. And what did we do to propagate them or make them grow? Nothing. We stuck them in the ground. And where we stuck them in the ground was full of rocks. I was like, well, they're never going to grow here. And yet that glory, that beauty Jesus is talking about is more than we can imagine. And yet we're still in a hurry, aren't we? We got to get there. We got to go. Got to go. Got to go. Always in a hurry. God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. How will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. For the pagans, for the uneducated of Jesus Christ, for the unsaved, their entire world revolves around what they can get and how fast they can get it. And unfortunately, we fall victim to that of our own selves. I'm the worst at it. Of everybody in this room, of everybody listening, I'm one of the worst. Because it always seems like I got to have something, even though I don't need it. Even though I might see another friend of mine go somewhere and get something that I am covetous toward. Man, I got to get in a hurry figuring out how I can try to get me one of those. And it never ends well. In Proverbs, in the 28th Proverb, verse 20, are these words. A faithful man will be richly blessed, but an eager one to get rich will not go unpunished. You take your time with something. You get it where it needs to be. The blessings will be great. But if you push yourself too hard, you will be punished. That's the story behind this. If I take my time with it, smooth and nice. If I get in a hurry, cuts and tears and rips. And we all fall victim to it. Yesterday morning, I woke up and I said, I need a ladder. See, I'm doing some work around the house and I don't have the right size ladder. Now, that's important because I've got a ladder that's this tall and I got a ladder that's forevermore that tall. But I don't have a ladder that's quite in between them. So I need a ladder where I can get up just to the right height. And so I spent some time researching ladders. I was so happy because I was reading up on them. And I finally came to the realization that this ladder sold by the local hardware store down the road from us, which I don't need to mention its name, but the building is big and orange, had the exact ladder I wanted. And they've got this wonderful thing because the world is in such a hurry. They've got this wonderful thing where you can order it online, pull up out front the store, beep, beep, and they'll bring it out and put it in the truck for you. Ain't that wonderful? And I am that kind of guy. I want to go beep, beep, put it in the truck. I got to go. And so I ordered the ladder and I drove down there. When I got my message saying, your ladder is ready to pick up, Mr. Leatherman, let us know and we'll put it in the truck for you. And I felt like royalty. And I drove down there. And a young man came out and said, I pulled this as soon as I saw the order come across. It seemed like it's something you needed. These are the words he said to me. It seemed like you something you needed. It was a ladder. I wanted to make sure it was ready to go. Because I pulled up, told him I was there, and within 2 minutes, he came out the store, hustled the ladder in the back of my truck. I was so proud of myself, I drove up the road thinking, I'm going to work all day today on my brand new ladder. I got home, and the ladder was packaged up in this real thick plastic. And as I was starting to open it, I looked inside and I said, you know, something don't look right. This don't look like the ladder I ordered. And so I opened up the package and I was surprised to find that there was two ladders in there. Two of the exact same ladders. I said, well, my goodness, I must have been a pretty good boy. I got two ladders, right? It must have been a promotion. I don't know. I went back and looked at my order form. It said ladders, gorilla ladders, plural. Okay, so I took both ladders and I went to where I was working and I set both of them up and I worked on them and I kept looking at them. Man, this don't seem right to me. This doesn't seem right. And so I went back up and dug the package in out of the burn barrel and I spread it out and I started reading it. And on there was a big yellow sticker that said my order number, Leatherman, and the date to pick it up by. And I was like, okay. And I got down to where it said the type of ladder it was. And underneath in parentheses was a note that said, packaging contains two ladders, separate and sell as one each. I didn't get two ladders for free. The young man was in such a hurry to get to that, he didn't stop to read. So now I'm faced with a conundrum. And I kept going like this, Lord, did you want me to have two ladders for free? Why is there a dark cloud appearing over top of me? You're not getting ready to you're not getting ready to strike me with lightning, are you? And so I called up this store, orange store, and I told him what was going on, and this is how the conversation went. You got what? I said, well, I got two ladders, but I only paid for one. Well, how did that happen? Well, I don't know. You own the store. I said, I think your fellow that brought them out to me, the young man, didn't open them up. I said, what do you want me to do? Well, what do you want to do? I said, well, I want you to tell me what to do with this other ladder. Well, is it used? Well, yeah, I did use it. I tore all the packaging apart and set it up and used it. I said, can you resell the thing as open box or partially used? They said, no. I said, well, what do you want me to do? Well, you can bring it in and then we'll throw it away. I said, well, I'll bring it in and we'll talk about it. They said, well, you can buy it if you would like to. So I guess we're going to have a conversation tomorrow at some point when I take that ladder back. But it just, it pushed me over the edge when I started thinking about what this sermon meant. We're always in such a hurry that sometimes we don't stop for a moment. Does anybody remember what today meant? And I'm not talking about October 31st. I'm talking about Sunday. Do you know what Sunday used to mean? Who remembers the blue law? Well, nothing opened on a Sunday. Gas stations were. Of course, the hospital was and things like that. And restaurants were. But the mall wasn't. The shoe stores wasn't. The telephone store wasn't. Because Sunday was held as a day not to be in a hurry. When I was growing up, Sunday meant going to Grandma's house. And you knew what was on the plate at Grandma's house. There was going to be fried chicken or roast beef with all the fixings. And Grandma had already put that in the oven before she had left to go to church. And when she came home, all she had to do was finish it off. Most of the time it was roast beef. Once in a while it was fried chicken. Sometimes it was turkey. Now, as a preacher's kid, Sunday meant visiting. Sunday meant after church, we was going to see somebody somewhere. And once a month, for a while when we was growing up, somebody would red up their house and tell my daddy, we would love to have you and your family come and dine with us after church Sunday. And boy, let me tell you, they broke out the dishes and the china and they fed us. And there was pie and cake and dessert. And I always got that same lecture before my foot left the car to hit the ground to walk in their house. You better be on your best behavior. You better eat what's put on your plate. Or so help me when we get out of here. Well, yes, sir. And them women in those homes, it was a quiet time. And they would sit and visit. And sometimes they had kids my age, we could go and play. And sometimes they didn't. But the one thing that always made me laugh was the men in those households always felt sorry for me. And they would come over and they'd talk to me for a minute. And they'd say, hey, you want to go look in the garage at my riding mower? Yes, I do. And we'd do that. And Sunday was a day of rest. And Sunday was a day to remind yourself not to be in a hurry. Jesus knew what that meant. It's recorded for us over in Mark chapter 1. In the 32nd verse, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Where he prayed. Always in a hurry, always had work to do. But Jesus knew what it meant to take that time to back up, to unstring the bow. And he saw to it that it was written for us to read, to be reminding ourselves. I don't know who wrote this, but it says, there is no music in a rest. But there's the making of music in it. And our whole life melody, the music is broken off here and there by quote-unquote rests. And we foolishly think we have come to the end of the tune. Not without design does God write the music of our lives. Be it ours to learn a tune and not be dismayed at the rests. They are not to be slurred over, not to be omitted, not to destroy the melody, not to change the keynote. If we sadly say to ourselves, there is no music in a rest, let us not forget that there is the making of music in it. The well-known Quaker George Fox used to say, carry around some quiet time inside thee. Be still and cool in thy own mind and spirit, from thine own thoughts, and then thou wilt feel the principle of God to turn thy mind to the Lord, from whence cometh life, whereby thou mayest receive strength and power to allay all the storms and the tempests. Always in a hurry. Always happening to move at a certain speed. And yet we remember the words of Jesus, who by worrying, by rushing, by being in a hurry, can add a single hour to his life. So today I have a prescription for all y'all. Today, when you sit down for supper, when you sit down for dinner, and don't confuse the two either. Dinner comes at 12 o'clock, supper comes in the evening. And don't tell me it's any different. The way I growed up, you sat down to dinner and you went to eat supper. After all, the hymn was written, come home, it's supper time. So today, when you sit down to dinner, I want you to back up for just a moment. Just say that little extra prayer that says, thank you, Father. Thank you for slowing me down for a minute. Thank you for reminding me not to always be in a hurry. And thank you, Father, for giving me this moment to rest so that I may strengthen and be prepared for what comes next. Brothers and sisters, don't always be in a hurry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have given us something to study on, something to ponder on, something to think about. Father, remind us that worry, being in a hurry, sound the same, are the same, and oftentimes end the same, in frustration and aggravation. Let us be reminded to slow down. Take the time to do what we need to do and see the reward that comes from it. Thank you, Father, for these reminders today. Thank you for these words. Thank you for this sermon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.